she's seen as the inventor, or perhaps we could more precisely say the reinventor, of prayer. She prays with her lips moving, but otherwise it comes only from her heart, and God hears her heart. Welcome to A Journey Through the Machzor, Episode 8, Rembrandt's Hannah. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. Before we turn to the Torah reading of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, let us ponder how it is connected to the Haftarah, the prophetic reading of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. In the Scottish National Gallery in Edinburgh hangs a painting that we have sent you with this podcast. Of all the biblical paintings affiliated with Rembrandt, it is one of the least studied, mentioned, or referenced. We see a woman sitting in a large elaborate structure. She holds some sort of book, perhaps a prayer book, in her lap. Next to her stands a small child, who appears to be reading from the very volume held by the woman. Behind her on the wall, if we look very carefully, we can make out two very large oblong tablets with Hebrew writing on them. These are the Ten Commandments, but written in Hebrew and spaced on the two tablets, according to Jewish tradition. Though some have argued that the artist is giving us here a scene from Christian scripture set in the temple in Jerusalem, today it is largely assumed that the painting is a depiction of a scene related to the story told in the Haftarah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the story of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Most art historians think this painting is a joint production of Rembrandt and his students, and today it is known as Hannah and Samuel in the Tabernacle. What Rembrandt and his school, in other words, are giving us here is the Mishkan, the Tabernacle in Shiloh. Remember that though we associate the word Mishkan in the Pentateuch with a traveling tent, that is only how the Mishkan was made for the sojourn in the desert for 40 years. But when the Tabernacle sat in Shiloh, it became a building unto itself, allowing it to endure that location for centuries. It was just in this sort of structure that, as we read on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the heartbroken Hannah, childless, arrives with her husband Elkanah, and she comes into the Tabernacle and prays for a child. Rembrandt assumes that the Tabernacle would have had these enormous tablets, largely because, it would seem, he, or one of his students or members of his studio, saw such tablets in a Sephardic synagogue in Amsterdam. The National Gallery of Edinburgh's website tells us the following, quote, "The work is almost certainly not entirely by Rembrandt, but it is possible that it was begun by one of his pupils, perhaps Samuel van Hoogstraten or Abraham van Dyck, and completed by the master himself. The writing on the two tablets," the website continues, "is difficult to decipher, but shows the Ten Commandments in Hebrew. Rembrandt and his pupils would have had first-hand access to such texts." End quote. Now that we understand the setting of this rarely studied painting and the connection that it bears to a Jewish community, let us now review the larger context of the biblical tale as we attempt to decipher the specific scene before our eyes. I mentioned that this is known as the scene of Hannah and Samuel in the Tabernacle, or as it is really usually called, slightly inaccurately, Hannah and Samuel in the Temple. But it is also assumed that what is happening in this scene is that Hannah is teaching Samuel to pray. The question is, what in the story of Samuel would have inspired the artist or artists to depict such a situation? Let us briefly review what we read about on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. We are introduced to Hannah, a woman who desperately desires a child. She journeys with her husband to Shiloh. There, Eli, the high priest, leads Israel. Heartbroken Hannah steals into the Tabernacle and prays, pleads to God for a child. She does so silently. Rakshvata na'ot v'kola lo yishamea. Only her lips move, but her voice cannot be heard. But God, of course, hears her prayer. Her prayer is for a child. And in her prayer, she makes the Almighty an offer that if she has a son, the child will be given to the Tabernacle. The child will serve the high priest Eli. He will effectively be made from childhood a gift to God, a minister to God. Eli observes Hannah praying, but he thinks that she is drunk. He has never seen anyone pray this way. Perhaps, as we suggested in Bible 365, because worship in those days, by many, was an external performance, public and pro forma. But Hannah embodied the interior essence of prayer, an earnest expression of emotion. It is hard to overstate how influential this scene is for the future of Judaism, because many of the laws of prayer are actually learned from this extraordinary woman. She's seen as the inventor, or perhaps we could more precisely say the reinventor, of prayer. She prays with her lips moving, but otherwise it comes only from her heart, and God hears her heart. A child is bestowed to Hannah. She nurses it, and then, when he is weaned, she returns him to the tabernacle and presents him to Eli. One can only imagine what was going through Hannah's mind at this moment. And part of the lesson of reading the Haftarah on Rosh Hashanah is that, even though, of course, we are not called to give our children in service to the tabernacle, nevertheless, like Hannah, we need to see all we have, and especially our children, as gifts of the divine, and to be motivated by this realization, to also dedicate our children to God, not in the same literal way as Hannah, but to make manifest our recognition of this divine gift in a way that motivates us to raise our child towards sanctity, towards service of God, toward our way of life, toward the life well lived. Strikingly, this connects to what is read on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the story of Abraham's offering of Isaac. We have cited in the past an incredible letter written by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, writing to a Roman Catholic priest who had asked about the Jewish ceremony of the redemption of the firstborn son, in which some coins are presented to a Kohen, a priest, on the 30th day after the birth of the firstborn. For Rabbi Soloveitchik, every one of these rituals is a reenactment of the Akedah, a way of reminding us that ultimately our child is God's gift, and all that we have is truly God's. As Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote, quote, "The father of today, as Abraham of old, acknowledges the absolute ownership of the child by God." And then he adds, quote, "When the Kohen returns the child to the father and accepts the 5 shekels, he presents him on behalf of God with a new child. Something precious is re-entrusted to him. The dialectical drama of Mount Moriah, consisting in losing and finding a son, is restaged in all its magnificence. After receiving the child from the Kohen, the father must always remain aware that it was only through God's infinite grace that this infant was returned to him in sacred trust." End quote. Hannah's presentation of Samuel to Eli, in other words, speaks to all of us. We are not called to make her sacrifice, but we must all bear in mind that what we have truly belongs to God, and that therefore we must raise our children toward a righteous life. With this in mind, we turn back to Rembrandt's painting. Rembrandt gives us not the whole story of Hannah, but an intimate scene between Hannah and Samuel, which was taken to be Hannah teaching Samuel to pray. Where would Rembrandt or Rembrandt's studio have gotten this idea? The answer, it would seem, comes from the conclusion of the Rosh Hashanah Haftarah, for we are given, at the conclusion, a lengthy prayer of gratitude, reverence, and joy from Hannah. We know further from Scripture that Hannah would visit her son year after year upon her annual pilgrimage to Shiloh, though nothing is said in the Rosh Hashanah Haftarah about the manner of their first parting. Rembrandt, in his studio, therefore, in this painting, connects Samuel being lent to the tabernacle by Hannah and the prayer that we have. The two events in our Haftarah are connected. In an act of artistic midrash, the painting depicts Samuel attempting to read from Hannah's book of prayers, as if to say that when she first came to present Samuel to the tabernacle, teaching her son to pray was her form of goodbye, a reminder to all of us that praying with our children and teaching our children to pray is an act of sanctification and dedication. The fascinating truth is that when we recognize that our children ought to be dedicated by us to the life well lived, that is when they become more truly our own. And we are called to see our family and all the blessings that we have through the eyes of Hannah's story. And now, thanks to this little-known but beautiful painting, we can look on the text of the story through the lens of an exquisite image, one which is very special to me and one which I have been privileged in this podcast to share with you. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.